right. Well, so glad to be with you all. We are talking this morning about how the hope of the world is announced. An announcement made me think of this picture that I saw some time ago, and I didn't realize until this morning that you can't see the reading on the bottom of the shirt. But the announcement basically says, "Only child, expiring September 13th. So they're expecting, they're having a this is the way they announced the birth of another baby coming into the world. So anyhow, just thinking about baby announcements, I was just wondering, a question for you, have you ever thought of a baby that baby would be the answer to your problems? Have you ever thought in those terms? I thought about that. Think about China, for example. For many families over in China, a baby was the answer to their problems, so much so that they only wanted little boys because that was going to be the provider for them in their old age. My mom really relates to this question. For her, she prayed for a baby for a long time because her first two sons, she lost them. First one, I believe, was born either stillborn or born very early after birth, and her second one didn't make it to 18 months old, and he died. And there were a number of reasons why Mom thought that they may have both been her fault, and so she just prayed desperately for a son and believed that a son would be the answer to her problems. Maybe you relate to that. I think of another story. The story of Hannah in the Bible. And remember how her husband had a second wife. That was when, you know, they believed in polygamy. And so her competition, the other wife, just tormented her constantly because she had no children. And so she just prayed desperately, and she believed that a son would be the answer to her problems. Well, fascinating. We're going to read some stories in the Bible this morning where God believed that a new baby, a son, would be the answer to our problems. And it is, of course, a beautiful story. It is the story of Christmas. So what I'd like you to do, if you will, we're going to actually be looking at two passages of Scripture a little bit this morning. So if you would turn first to Isaiah chapter 9. Back in your Old Testament, a little bit past Psalms, Isaiah chapter 9, and if you would, just put a little marker in there or maybe put your finger in there or something. We'll be looking at Isaiah 9 a little bit. And after you get that and get that marked, then you can turn over to Luke chapter 1. So this is kind of an unusual birth announcement. Because both of these stories are about a birth announcement that took place before the child was even conceived. That's rather rare, you would say. Wouldn't be able to do that normally. You might say, hey, we're hoping to have a child. But these are birth announcements that took place before the young man was even conceived. All right. So let's start off with Luke chapter 1. We'll be reading at verse 26. Let's pray before we begin. Lord in heaven, I just want to thank you again for this time. Father, we sit before you. I here with this delightful church family. Lord, we've gathered here before you in anticipation of hearing from you this morning. Lord, as we read your word and meditate on the things you've said to us, I pray that you will be so real to us, to each and every one of us, Lord. I pray if people have questions this morning that you will speak to their hearts and answer their questions. Lord, I pray if there's discouragement that you will just come down and fill their hearts and their lives and their minds and encourage them. Lord, I pray that whatever the need is, we just look to you, Lord, as our our rock, the one who meets our needs. And so we read your word together in anticipation of all of this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Now you might say, the sixth month of what? Well, if we had read the first half of the chapter, the same angel went to another person by the name of, I believe it was Elizabeth, and announced she was going to have a baby, and that he was going to be the forerunner of the Savior. And so now she's been expecting for 6 months. I'm assuming that this is what this means. So in the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. All right, so if you flip back to Isaiah chapter 9, and just keep your finger in Luke 1, look at verse 1 of chapter 9. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. This is speaking, the whole first 9 chapters of Isaiah here are about the trouble that Israel was in. They were being invaded by the Assyrians and hurt terribly, and they were in anguish. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated her, that is God, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, as you're going to see as we read further here in Isaiah 9, that it is a prediction of Christ coming. And the place is mentioned there of Galilee. Okay, that's where we just read, Galilee, to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. So going back to Luke chapter 1, now verse 27. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, when it says engaged, the word actually means betrothed. So their engagement, their betrothal process was a little bit different than ours. If you get engaged, you're expecting to be married, you know, so you set the date for the wedding. Maybe it's a year away or something. When they were betrothed, they were actually legally married. Now, the marriage wasn't consummated until another date, when they had their big wedding celebration and their wedding night. But legally, they were married when they were betrothed. So that's why you find out, that's why Joseph is a little bit upset later on when he finds out that Mary is expecting. Okay, but here comes the angel. The angel Gabriel is sent to this humble home to a virgin, and the virgin's name, the end of verse 27, was Mary. All right, just a young girl, never been with a man. She's now betrothed to a young man, but there she is. Verse 28, coming in, he said to her, that is the angel says to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now try to imagine that. Here you are, young girl, maybe you're in the kitchen, maybe you're in the bedroom, I don't know, but in comes this brilliant angel, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. That would be a shocker, right? It was quite surprising for Mary. Look at her response, verse 29. She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. So Mary's just going, what in the world is he talking about? Favored one? How am I a favored one? How is the Lord with me in some special way? It was, I am sure, quite a shock to Mary. And the next verse points that out, because the angel immediately tries to comfort her and settle her down. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. for you have found favor with God. So obviously, she must have been a little more than surprised, maybe fearful, because the angel says, don't be afraid. Okay, you know, maybe she was kind of shrinking back. We don't know exactly. But don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So the Bible doesn't tell us exactly why Mary had found favor with God. I imagine that she grew up in a godly family, and that she wanted to honor him with her life. And so she was doing her best to follow him as far as she knew, as far as she knew how. She was responding to him. She was trying to keep the commandments, those kind of things. That's what we guess. There's nothing actually in the Bible. I know that some people have made the statement that Mary is sinless. There's actually nothing in the Bible that indicates that she was sinless. Actually, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul touches on that over and over and over again in the book of Romans. So it's not in the Bible that she was sinless, but she found favor with God in a very special way. So, verse 31, the angel continues speaking. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. So here's a birth announcement before the child is conceived. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And so begins the story that has changed, literally changed the world. Of course, we don't know how many are sincere in their belief, but at this point in history, about one-third of the world claim to be followers of Christ. It's huge. This is where the story began. You'll call his name Jesus. So I'd like us to take a little bit of time this morning thinking about the next verse, because this angel says a few things about this little boy who's being announced. Verse 32, number one, he will be great. The angel says he will be great. Okay, and you might wonder, what in the world did the angel mean by that? Well, you're probably familiar with this, but I want to read you something that was written, I believe it was in the early 1900s, which I'm sure have heard before, but here we go. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, a child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. Jerusalem was probably the largest city he was ever in. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. It's because Jesus didn't own anything. 19 centuries have come and gone. Today, actually it's now 20 centuries have come and gone. Today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. This is such a fascinating closing paragraph here. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as has that of this one solitary life. And, you know, the crazy thing about it, you know, we're all familiar with, at least you may be familiar with that statement now, is it's true. As you think about it, it's all true. Here's this man who just lived a very, very ordinary life. And then for 3 years, he began a public ministry, died for our sins, and is now the centerpiece of the human race. He did indeed become great. He did indeed. But you know, that's only the small piece of the puzzle, because if you look at the angel's next statement, the angel continues. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. In other words, Jesus is more than a man. He's not just an ordinary man. He's not even the same as a great man. You know, we know of people who were born to be kings and they ruled, like King Solomon, for example. You know, there are a number of King Henrys. We have these great kings. We have Alexander the Great, right? And yet their mark on history was nothing like that of Jesus Christ. He's actually more than a great man. He is the Son of God. And if you turn back with me, just flip back with me to Isaiah chapter 9, very quickly if you would. We're not going to read the intervening verses here. I encourage you to do so. I wish we had time to do so. I believe is a prophecy about our Savior. But drop on down to verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So right there, there's going to be a son born to the earth, but he's going to be called the Mighty God. Incredible. Incredible. Goes on to say, Eternal Father. Not only is he called the Mighty God, he's called the Eternal Father. You know, and of course, some people have disputed, well, we don't think he's the God of gods. He's not the Creator God. But Eternal Father, I would think, says that he is the God of gods. So Jesus Christ is more than just a man. He is God himself. All right, so going back to Luke 1, still in verse 32, here's a third thing that's said about Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And number 3, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. What's he mean by that? If you flip back to Isaiah chapter 9, we read it there also. It said, verse 6, the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it. So Jesus is going to sit on David's throne. He is going to rule over the nation of Israel. And of course, other Bible verses tell us he's going to rule over the entire world when he returns. So he's going to be a great man. He is the Son of God. And he's going to rule over the earth on the throne of David. Now that's future. That's still to come. We can anticipate that. But it is indeed great news for us. All right, so let's go back to Luke 1. Now we're in verse 33. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. His kingdom will have no end. Okay, very important words. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9, again in verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. His kingdom's never going to end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So written about 650 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah is telling us the same thing that we read in Luke chapter 1, that there's going to be a baby born. He's going to be great. He's going to be God's son. He's going to rule in David's place. And he's going to rule forever. Great words of encouragement for us. What an announcement that a little child can change the world, isn't it? But this is a special child, right? This is the one that we celebrate every year. This is the one who the angels announced as our Savior, the Savior of the world. So I just want to meditate on that with you this morning. Let's keep reading because there are a couple more things I want us to see in Luke chapter 1. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" All right? Nothing like this has ever happened before. I've never been with a man. How in the world can this happen? The angel answers and says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." So God himself is Jesus' Father. So he is the God-man, sent from God, but he is also a man so that he can identify with you and I and feel the things that we go through, the temptations that we face, the struggles that we have. He grew up. He was you guys' age. Never made it to my age. But he was your age. And he experienced all the things that we experience in life. So he knows what you're going through as you grow up and have your challenges. He knows what we're going through as we grow up. All right, where were we? Verse 36. Behold, the angel's still speaking. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her 6th month. Now, the angel's still answering Mary's question, right? How in the world can this be? The angel's still answering her question. But I love this next thing that the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Right? Her cousin, Elizabeth, was barren. Now in her old age, God just said, "Well, I want to make a statement here. I'm going to do something incredible here as my son enters the world." And so God didn't come with a blaze of lightning and a huge worldwide announcement. He came as a humble child placed in a manger, a feeding trough. But some very special things surrounded his birth. And so for anyone who's willing to look into it, All the evidence is there. And so I just want us to meditate on that this morning. You know, there are a lot of people who are not willing to look in it. There are a lot of people who are really not interested. And that's troublesome sometimes. But for anyone who's willing to look into it, the evidence is there. I just started reading a new book, and I can't remember the title at the moment. But I am so enjoying it. It's about this young boy. He's a Canadian. And he had just a terrible, terrible early life. Parents divorced, and I think some of them, maybe both of them, at least one of them died. And he got just overwhelmed with all of these different... He ended up with Tourette's because so many stressful things were happening into his life. So he had all these twitches, and he'd be in an airplane, and he had these obsessive behaviors where he just If he didn't kick the seat in front of him real hard three times, he just knew the airplane was going to crash, and all of these crazy things. But he met a young man in high school who loved the Lord and challenged him. He says, you know, you really need to check in to Jesus, because I believe he is so real. And he so admired this young man that he started looking into the evidence about it. He started exploring it for himself, and he just became thoroughly convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And so he just started writing books. He became a pastor. He's spreading the word. Up in Canada, where churches generally have just died for years, the church that he's a part of is just growing like crazy. And they're planting churches all over the place because of this guy's passion. It's just so exciting for me to think about how God sometimes will just take a person, just the right person, and put them somewhere and just start using them. You know? And that's what's happening with this guy, because he's been willing to look into it. All right. What was this final note I made here? Good news for all people. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. This is later on when Jesus is actually born. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So the thing that I love about those two verses is that the angel is saying to the shepherds, this is good news for all people, and he's been born for you. Jesus is God's gift to the world, and he's God's gift to me, and he's God's gift to you, to anyone who will trust him as their Savior. So the gospel in a nutshell is that we live in a broken world. We're part of that broken world. We have this thing called sin in our lives that has separated us from our great God, and because of that, he can't hear our prayers. But he loved us so much that he came to earth as a little baby. He grew up. He went to the cross, willingly gave his life to pay for our sins. And now anyone who's willing to trust him as their Savior will be forgiven and will be made into his son or his daughter. So I just throw that out there for everyone here this morning. If there's someone here who has not done that and you're not sure that you are on your way to heaven, I encourage you to make that decision today. Lord, together we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it's so simple that a young child can understand it. And yet it is so deep and so meaningful and so life-changing that it touches us to the very depths of our being. Lord, we thank you that you don't offer us a religion that's filled with ritual and meaningless repetition. But Lord, you offer us a Savior, a friend, a real relationship with the living God. Lord, we choose that this morning, to know you personally. Father, I just want to pray for anyone who's here this morning who is not sure of that, that they've made you their Savior, that you're in their lives and have chosen them and made them your very own son or daughter. I pray for that person. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts today in a brand new way, in a fresh way. And I pray, oh Lord, that they would hear and answer your call. And Lord, I also pray, as we're out in your world this week, that you'll just make us like you, make us good representatives, and give us opportunities to share you and your love with others around us. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.